Coming to hello, I'm Tara. Hello, I'm Tara Singh, and today we are discussing social enterprise and the various elements of social enterprise. So coming to the HR element, it becomes very, very important because what is social impact, people impact without there being talent management and the employees themselves being inclusively, and fairly and equitably treated. So it's not just about treatment, but it's also about the recruitment of the right people for your human resources. We are in an environment where especially millennials really, really want to work for companies which have a social impact. For them, working for purpose very often is far higher than working for profit. So India being such a populous country, having a demographic where we have a lot of young people in the workforce, that gives us a very clear advantage when it comes to hiring for this sector, because the social consciousness is so high. Young people want to not only patronize by buying products, but also want to contribute by working for companies where they feel more satisfied and fulfilled rather than just for commercial gains. Now, how do you, let's say a social enterprise is a startup and they are looking to hire. Now, hiring the very first few employees can be an extremely daunting task because how do you find someone, where the values between the organization and the employee match? How do you communicate these values? How do you understand the passion and the chemistry? Because hiring here is all about passion and chemistry. How do you see the commitment of the person you are trying to hire? So in a situation like this, different organizations have different kind of policies to hire. They use different modes so that they can find the best fit for their social enterprise. So, for example, Acumen Fund, which we've been talking about a lot, and Acumen Fund, which came into India, and also one of the major founders of Arvind Eye Hospital, they have a very interesting volunteer program. So, in this volunteer program and this apprenticeship program, they train their volunteers. When a person is a volunteer, remember there is no money which is being given to this person. So, a volunteer program is not an employment program. You are not a contract employee, you are not a full-time employee. So, here, one, you are giving experience to the person, you are giving training to the person, you are giving this exposure to the person. At the same time, the person is being able to assess you as an organization. So before committing to a full-time job, he is getting the chance to understand you, understand the project that you have in mind. Possibly for the role for which he is doing this volunteer program. Understand, is this a right fit between what I want to do and what the organization is trying to achieve? So, volunteer programs, apprenticeship programs, giving skill enhancement to youngsters, to volunteers, is a very, very healthy practice for both the enterprise and for the volunteer. Because then, let's say tomorrow the volunteer jo has completed their volunteer program or this apprenticeship and they want to take a call. Should I join as a permanent employee or a contractual employee? They are in a better position to take a call because they've got a clear understanding of what does the role involve, how does this enterprise operate, how are they engaging their stakeholders, are they genuine in terms of the social impact that they're having on their communities. So they end up taking an informed decision rather than overcommitting. I have seen a lot of youngsters get very, very excited, and want to put up Instagram posts and all of that about, joining some noble social enterprise without really knowing what it involves, the hard work that it involves, the understanding of communities, human beings are working at the grassroots levels where conditions aren't always very conducive, very receptive, breaking into mindsets, managing all these things. And if you end up overcommitting and signing up for a full-time job right at the start, and then you realize that's not your cup of tea, or maybe you're too raw for that, you should have been prepared better for you to be thrown into this position, then you're probably going to not do justice to it, and you might even burn out and leave very disillusioned. So a volunteer program for social enterprises becomes a very good starting ground for people to decide, is this something which is their cup of tea on a regular basis, and which helps the organization as well. Because hiring someone in a hurry and then they leave, and then the whole process of training and engagement and skill enhancement and everything has to be done all over again. So you have your volunteer programs where you're saving on costs. At the same time, you are providing this, you are giving back to the volunteer by way of training, by way of exposure, by way of access to networking platforms, by skill upgradation, by creating a sense of ownership, a sense of contribution beyond just being an employee. So likewise, now when I come to Arvind Eye Hospitals, Arvind Eye Hospitals in the initial phases, now of course they're a brand to reckon with, and they have such massive credibility that even though they have a policy that they do not advertise their job positions, they get huge number of job applications globally, people wanting to work for them. So, but in the initial phases, they want to provide good eye treatments to especially the low income group. Now, to keep that cost effective so that they can continue to cater, they obviously cannot pay the best salaries and the best remuneration to their staff, whether it is their nursing staff, their doctors, the other staff. So how did they counter this in the initial stages? So for a doctor, one of the most important elements of learning, sense of ownership, sense of pride, is getting exposure to surgeries. Now Arvind Eye Hospital used this very effectively, where they put out in the market that doctors who joined them would get a lot more exposure to surgery, to, conducting surgeries, to observing surgeries, versus what they would get in other hospitals, which that exposure and that learning became the unique selling point versus offering the best pay. And it was a huge success. So this is what worked over and above this appealing to this feeling that you are helping the poor community. You are helping the aged, because a lot of the eye issues in the normal course happen over age. In addition to this mission of Arvind Eye Hospital to eradicate needless blindness, So this appeal, a joint appeal of this exposure, this learning, combined with the social cause, was a huge attraction for good quality doctors to join Arvind Eye Hospital initially. Of course, now it is a global brand to reckon with. People right, left and center, even without a job advertisement, are applying to them, writing to them from all over the world, wanting to associate with and work for Arvind Eye Hospital. Of course, now Arvind Eye Hospital has massive credibility, not just domestically, but globally, right from with organizations like World Health Organization, WHO, Melinda Gates Foundation, and now they no longer need to go out and solicit employees. As we know, everyone runs after them to want to work for them. So some of the trends which we see is that when it comes to skills, when it comes to technological disruptions, these are the things which can really be addressed in addition to various other elements in terms of value alignment, which healthy HR practices for social enterprises need to adhere to. Now, also in social enterprises, when it comes to gig economies, you have to offer something to the employee which he may not get in a traditional conventional organization, which would be a huge point of attraction to them. So, for example, Grassroots, which is working in the Himalayan region, have a very interesting way of retaining their talent, attracting talent, retaining their talent. Now, these are mountainous, difficult regions. So, to and also isolated regions, and to retain employees, to hire employees, they offer them, they can't offer them the best pay, but they offer them opportunities to go overseas for courses. They have a tie-up with the Ford Foundation. They go overseas for courses. They have encourage them, the employees, to write papers about their experiences and their projects at Grassroots, which serves a dual purpose, that the employees are writing about it, feeling proud, getting this skill of publishing papers, and at the same time it is also creating awareness about the Grassroots and its social impact in the areas. Now, another element is that they provide a lot of flexibility with the schedule and the timing, work from home, the flexible timing, etc., which a lot of the traditional organizations may not offer. Also, very, very importantly, now when I'm talking about isolated mountainous regions, there are people who are nature lovers for whom it would be a dream to be able to live in these nature environments. So imagine pitching yourself to people and attracting people who want to be living among nature, who don't want the mad hustle bustle pollution of the big cities, and so possibly that alignment of nature lovers who also want to create a social impact can really go and help you hire and retain employees. They give them chances to attend conferences, go and interact with experts, to learn from other experts, to get that visibility and opportunity to grow together with the organization. Now, various elements which become important, which become critical, are, of course, the ones I'm mentioning. Also, you have to keep in mind that you have to have flexibility, not just in terms of times, in terms of contracts, in terms of various other aspects, which have to be tailored to the needs of employees in your segment, because you cannot be regimental with them, because you're not in itself a traditional organization. And if you are going to demand more from them and not be able to remunerate them at industry standards, then you have to be flexible in terms of whether it's your contracts, whether it's your timings, whether it's your job descriptions, etc., to entertain these and then keep these employees engaged. The gig economy, of course, especially post-pandemic, etc., we have seen it has exploded, with a lot of people choosing to work from home, working on flexible timings. Platforms like Freelancer have become very, very popular. If you go there, India was not really known as a country of freelancers, but now that is a very, for a lot of people, that is the employment style of choice. So once again, coming to flexibility that organizations can provide to their employees, let's talk about another organization operating in the remote areas of the country. So Arohi, which is working in about 100 villages in the Nainital area of the country, they have again being it is that it is isolated, being that it is tough conditions, again one of the elements which keeps which has worked well for them and for their employees has been permitting flexibility of time so that the employees can work in a way that works well for them in terms of managing their family and other considerations and also contributing to their job requirements. It's very important when it comes to HR practices and policies in social enterprises to have a very clear job description. What is expected of the client? Make sure that that is very clearly expressed to the client. Also in terms of what are the do's and don'ts. Very often, especially with sensitive human elements involved in social enterprises, there will be a list of don'ts, which should be very clearly laid out to the employees, whether maybe if it's like a male employee coming into an organization which deals with women in the conservative marginalized segment, then there has to be a clear policy-oriented list of don'ts, which may be very innocent, but which protect everyone, right from employee to the beneficiary to the company. So have a very clear list of do's and don'ts. Provide that skill enhancement, provide that technology where possible, provide that flexibility, and give people the opportunity to grow with the organization, because you have to compensate them for that monetary aspect which they are giving up for this fulfillment and value alignment with you. So various other innovative ways in which organizations are tapping into gig workers is through, you know, we are familiar with Uber, Lyft, etc. Now, we also have, because some people don't associate too much safety with it, there is a women-only taxi service. So, a lot of technology can be implemented and tapped into to come up with these kind of services which can cater to the needs of the beneficiary, but also then provide employment to otherwise, to communities who were otherwise left out of those employment areas. So, for example, Jaipur Foot, which is one of the largest prosthetics, prosthetic foot providers, and you can imagine how difficult the life of amputees is. And having a path-breaking enterprise which has fitted more than 16,000 patients is and working across international boundaries, you can imagine how well they have to manage their business and the talent management that is required there. Also, keep in mind that dealing with amputees for people who are not amputees can create a lack of understanding. So they have actually gone out and at times recruited from their bunch of beneficiaries. So it is such an innovative idea that you go and hire from your bunch of beneficiaries, which is already happening in, entities like Seva, entities like, Lijjat Papad, where your beneficiaries are also the people working together with you. But it is also being done across other entities like Jaipur Foot, and it is being done across geographies, because they have rolled out not just in India, they have rolled out in Indonesia, they have rolled out in Honduras, they have rolled out in Nigeria, in Egypt. So there has to be a lot of innovation. How do I find someone who really appreciates what I do? Obviously, a beneficiary really appreciates, and if they are physically and capable in other ways to be able to contribute, why not? So onboarding in terms of training, development, flexible policies, etc., these can go a very long way in terms of your success of your organization. So now also, it's very important that there be a very clear understanding of equality. When you're trying to make social impact, create social impact for communities, equity is a very important element there. So equity must also trickle down into the employee structure. So it's important that your social enterprises have flatter structures. There isn't too much hierarchy. Of course, there is going to be difference in expertise, seniority, juniority, but it should not be the way it can sometimes be in extremely bureaucratic organizations or organizations which have multiple, multiple layers of, structures. So flatter structures which give more of a sense of ownership. There are certain social enterprises which have given founder status to their early employees, and you can't give founder status to everyone, in which case you give some sort of equity ownership. So make people feel they are valuable. In the gig economy, in the social enterprise economy, you cannot get away by making employees feel as disposable and as substitutable as sometimes the traditional companies make them feel. But there, the because here the person will is as it is giving up commercial benefit will then have no incentive to stay on if he's really if he feels like he's not heard, his ideas are not entertained, he or she is treated as we can hire tomorrow and substitute you, so you're not indispensable. People need to feel important. They need to feel like the they are growing, the organization is also growing because of them. So all of these elements become extremely important when it comes to your social enterprise or gig economies.